Morning, welcome to the Idaho Supreme Court's quarterly term, second case of September 20, 2022, the Order Society Department of Labor. I assume then you are Debbie Dorr. Welcome, representing yourself for the state today. Mr. Douglas Worth is representing the respondent of Idaho Department of Labor. Do either of you have anything for the court before you argue your case? Very well. Ms. Dorr, then, I trust you've been told by Madam Clerk how to proceed. You may do so.
This is interesting. Good morning. The only thing I can tell you is I applied for unemployment. I was working and then COVID came in. And we all know what that did. So it took food literally out of my mouth because I couldn't work because I was babysitting and stuff like that. And so I waited and waited a while, and somebody kept telling me that I should be eligible for unemployment. I thought, well, that would help a lot. So I applied for it, and I was denied my unemployment. And so I thought, okay, long story short, I was still told that wasn't correct, that something wasn't correct. So I went back and tried to open it up again, and they had locked me out of it. So I thought, well, I obviously, with everybody, I'm sure, applying, and I know they were probably busier than, than anything, that was the case. But then I started reading a few more articles, and a couple other people told me, no, that doesn't appear to be correct. So I reapplied, called, and what happened is the Department of Labor outsourced due to the influx. Well, Maximum is the name of the company, messed everything up. They were fined. And it just so happened that my case, they locked me out of everything, and then they were fired. So being told this, I said, well, what can we do about it? Well, they immediately gave me my unemployment, which is wonderful. But because it had been so many months, they couldn't go back and reopen it for me. And the only reason that is because I didn't know that I actually really could, being that I was locked out and everything. That's when I found out that they had to fire the people that they outsourced it to. And so that was great. So then I said, well, how do I get retroactive? They said, well, you file for blah, blah, blah. Same thing, and which I did. And then I was granted a telephone call. So, of course, I'm excited about it. So I'm waiting, and And so the date comes, the time comes, I call the number, and it goes, uh-oh. So then it says in here, if something happens, you can't get through, call another number. So I did. Well, I called the number in the bold print, the 800 number. So everybody calls the 800 number because I'm thinking, okay, if they gave me the 800 number, I'm going to call it. Well, I didn't see the number to the side of it because it was so faint. And at the time, I didn't know I couldn't see that well at the time because I didn't have glasses or anything at that point in time. And I thought, okay, when they brought it to my attention, so I checked, sure enough, there it was. So I appealed it and asked them if they could please forgive me because I made an honest mistake, and that it wouldn't happen again, and that I would really appreciate if they would reinstate me. And as you can see, I've been denied, up to this point. And I'm just asking them to give me another opportunity because that money would really come in handy. I lost a lot, my job, just like everybody else. But being a senior citizen, it really hit me hard. And so I'm here today to ask you if you would reconsider it. And if there's anything else I can do, I'll pause this. So that's all. It's just the plain truth, and that's it. That's all I can say. And that's exactly what happened. If you have any questions, I'd be more than happy to answer them. But other than that, I don't know what else to say. I moved.
Thank you, ma'am. It doesn't appear any of the justices have questions right now. You'll get another chance to come back and talk to us again after Mr. Work. Thank you. for it when you're ready, sir.
Chief Justice Batten, Justices of the Court, Ms. Doar, and may it please the Court. These are frustrating cases for a respondent. They're frustrating on a number of levels. On one level, I have sympathy for Ms. Doar. I think anybody would. But on another level, as a respondent, it's my obligation to make legal arguments for my client in response to the legal arguments that are being made by the appellant. And in that respect, the respondent is similar to the Supreme Court in a pro se appeal with an inadequate brief, because the respondent is put in a position of searching the record for error and then perhaps raising issues on their own, or, as was done in this case, just calling to the Court's attention the fact that the brief does not meet Idaho Appellate Rule 35. In my respondent's brief for the Department, I went through the number of deficiencies in the brief. It doesn't list issues. The table of contents says that the issues are page 3. There's no page 3. It doesn't discuss the standard of review. There's no discussion about whether or not this is a review of discretion or a question of law. So the respondent is in a position of simply pointing out to the Court the deficiencies of the brief. In this Court's case law, it's pretty clear that, number one, pro se litigants are held in the same standard as everybody else. And number two, this Court will not hear appeals, will dismiss appeals that are brought by appellants that don't provide the necessary items that are set forth in Rule 35A. So, in the Reichel case, which is the road validation case, with attorneys advocating for their various clients, the appellant didn't raise an abuse of discretion claim with respect to the highway district's finding that the validation was in the public interest. And its brief was silent on that issue, and the Court said it was waived. Similarly, in this case, there's no discussion of abuse of discretion, no discussion of standards of review. The other case I just wanted to mention was in this Court's decision in the Mackey case, where the Court reminded that pro se litigants are held to the same standard. But I think some language is important in this decision. It was a decision where the appellate was seeking to expunge two criminal convictions. And the Court wrote that while the appellant's ultimate goal is clear, to set aside those expungements, the appellant has not provided any cogent argument or authority in support of that position. So it was deemed waived. I don't, I think under stare decisis, the case law is pretty clear about the minimum requirements of a brief, and from the Department's position, we don't see how that comes close to meeting the mark. It was unfortunate for Ms. Doar. I understand how it's got to be extremely difficult for her to try to draft a brief. The Court gave her three opportunities. I even sent her a copy of Rule 35A. But nonetheless, there's not really a brief that the respondents can engage in and respond without doing the work for. appellant. So for these reasons, we would ask that the decision below of the Industrial Commission be upheld. Questions?
Go ahead.
Just a quick question. Let's assume for a second, and I realize this is a big assumption on your part, that we get over the Rule 35 issues and we were to get to somewhat of the merits as we think Ms. Dorr may be arguing. I'm going to give the notice of telephone hearing that, she has discussed. And it does show all of the important information on it in bold. The date, the phone number, the PIN number, the name of the hearing officer, and the time. But the time that applied specifically to her was not in bold. And I'm just wondering if you think that that was in any way misleading.
I don't believe, Your Honor, that it was misleading. And I think the short answer to that query is that both times, the time that stated in bold and the time that's not in bold, are accurate. The hearing was held at 10:11 a.m. Mountain Time, which is also 10 a.m. Pacific Time. I think if we put it in bold, the next case for the Pacific Time, the next case we would hear would be from somebody who was calling in that wasn't Pacific Time, and they got their time wrong because they followed the Pacific Time statement there, or whatever, or said they were confused because of that.
Thank you.
And so my question, counsel, you phrased your arguments primarily in terms of Idaho Appellate Rule 35, but what I take you to be saying in the substance of your argument is it appears to really hinge on the lack of argument or authority to support Ms. Dorr's position, as opposed to there wasn't a table of contents, there wasn't this section. Am I correct in understanding you're really saying, you know, the legal standard is this court can't substitute our judgment for the department. We can only reverse it if the department abused its discretion. And so are you saying there's no argument about why the department abused its discretion? That's what's really missing in this case.
That is correct, Justice Zahn. And this isn't an argument, a gotcha argument that Respondent is making. I think that the case that I've cited in my brief, the Tech Landing case, was kind of a gotcha argument because the party who was saying that the issue had not been raised said, Your Honor, I recognize that they're arguing abuse of discretion, but they didn't tell us which prong was violated. And the court, I think, rightly said that, we don't get into that sort of an issue. They're making an argument, an abuse of discretion argument. Similarly, there have been decisions of this court where, technically, an issue was not listed in the listing of issues in the brief, but was nonetheless argued in the appellant's initial brief and responded to by respondents. And in that circumstances, the court relaxed the rule for that sort of de minimis failure or to meet all the requirements. So our argument is just based on the fact that we're missing the center. The center is missing from, and it's all that Ms. Dorr was able to say is there are no cases on point. But there wasn't a discussion of any cases. There wasn't a discussion of the appropriate standard of review. Is this simply an argument of abuse of discretion, or is there another argument that could or should be made? This is not in brief, and it's not. It puts the respondent in a position of not being able to respond, and that's the reason the court has the rule, so it's not put in the same position of having to figure out what could have been argued, and then go from there.
And so I understand you to be saying the department gets the authority to decide whether to grant another hearing or not, and Ms. Dorr has failed to explain how the department abused its discretion in making that decision.
That's correct. That's how these cases typically unfold at the appellate level.
Thank you.
Anything further?
Thank you, sir. No, it's okay, so.
Thank you.
clerk, how much time does Ms. Lord have remaining?
26 minutes, Your Honor.
And I'm not sure you'll need all that, but you have.
I do have one question. Since I cannot find any cases to argue at all, and I have proof of that by transcript that I have submitted, and it's from the library and it's in there, and I asked, I need the files in case I need to find some, so I did a lot of research. I have a Kennedy, I called, I'll tell you where. And it shows right there, what do I do if there aren't any cases? I do believe this is the first. So how can I argue something if I'm the first one here? But all I'm asking is that, but like I said, I'm just asking for them to review it and give me another opportunity. Since it is available to me, since I am eligible for everything, and, I did my best. I did the best I could. Let me tell you, I think I did 5 briefs before I accepted this one, and I think if you guys accepted it, that it was done properly. So I'm not really, I don't understand his argument against, dumping my brief or whatever it was. But I just want another chance for it, and it would greatly help. And I do appreciate all the time and effort. And I know they're really busy. Yeah, I know they're really busy. But then I also know that there's been times when they have given other people chances and stuff like that. But that's what I have to say, is that, I gave it my best shot.
Ms. Lord, did you talk to any attorneys at all about getting help on this?
Oh, absolutely. I called, I don't know how many attorneys. I called Levi, they did not help me because they were so overwhelmed with a lot of the COVID stuff and other things like that. I called a variety of attorneys. I cannot afford an attorney, and they weren't going to do it pro bono. They had enough to do. So yeah, I could give you a list probably. I'm not even in state, even out of state. But I couldn't get any legal help, so I had to do it all by myself. And like I said, did the best I could so you guys could understand it, and it was appropriate.
This Kent reference you refer to, it looks like it's from Southeast Missouri, is that correct?
I believe so. I'm not exactly sure. All I know is I got a phone, an attorney gave that to me.
Were you talking to an attorney or a law student, or can you tell us anything about that document?
It's a library, and it's utilized by attorneys, law students, a lot of law students and stuff like that, because they don't have to look up cases and this and that. So I was referring to that, and I thought, yes, they'll be able to, and as you can see yourself, I mean, it's like, 2-3 pages long. He went through everything. I was on the phone an hour with the gentleman trying to find some kind of case like mine in order to present it. And we couldn't find anything. And me doing the research myself, I couldn't find anything either that actually was appropriate for my case.
So just so I'm clear, I don't mean to embarrass you, but are you writing in Lady 333?
Yes. When I said maybe that one was about that tall, so and he's a good boy. Is that telling you anything?
I'm just trying to make sure I understand what I'm saying. Thank
you. Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. That's fine. Just don't make me do it, Bruce.
Unfortunately, we're in the business of doing lots of homework, so.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I know I've got a few more words. I've got two more for this. I want to thank you for letting me tell you what's going on face to face.
We thank you for coming today. The case is under advisement. The court will render a decision in due course. We'll recess until 11:10.
All right.